It's great to see you today. If you are here with us for the very first time, my name is Mark. I'm the pastor. Right after the service, I'll be at the welcome area out in the lobby. I'd love to say hi to you and meet you really quick. If you've got just a minute, we've got a free gift we'd love to give you. And just thank you so much for being here with us today. We are in a series called Rhythm. Each week in this series right now that leads us to Easter, which, by the way, I believe is just 3 Sundays away. Is Easter. So hopefully you're thinking about, praying about who you're going to bring, who you're going to invite. Be awesome to see every single seat filled in both services. All right. You've got people in your life that you work with, related to, live on your street, whatever, that are more willing and open to coming to church on Easter Sunday than maybe any other time of the year, except for Christmas. And so I just want to encourage our church, lean into that. You got 3 weeks. God, who would you want me to invite? Share some things online, tag some friends, bring people with you. Easter Sunday is March 31st. All right, so bring some people with you. It's going to be a great day. Hey, listen, I'm going to pray for us, and let's dive in this morning. Spirit of God, I pray that you would speak just the way that you've been speaking, Father, just the way that you've been moving here, Father. We want to continue to just flow in the rhythm of where your spirit is going and what you're saying. And God, I pray that over the next couple of minutes, you would really wake us up to speak to each and every one of us, because God, you have something for each and every one of us today. Every man in the room, every woman in the room, teenager in the room, no matter how young or old, God, you've got something for us today. And so God, I pray that you'd keep us from distraction, keep us from the schemes of the enemy, and just help us to lean in to where you're going. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We are in a series, like we said, called Rhythm. Every week we are talking about different practices to help us follow Jesus in everyday life. And last week, if you were here, now if you missed it, you can go back on our YouTube, Facebook, and all of the things. Last week, we talked about the importance of community as a practice. And really, we said last week's practice was church, and you were doing that. The importance of having people in our lives who can help us follow Jesus, encourage us to go after Jesus. And really, today and last week are the only part of this series where you could really link these two together, because last week we saw the church start in Acts chapter 2. But what happens in the book of Acts is the Spirit of God doesn't descend and start the church and then say, all right, see you later. No, really what happens in the book of Acts is the Spirit of God descends, starts the church, and the Spirit of God has stayed on the earth the entire time, living in the lives of God's people. And what the Spirit does is the Spirit starts the church, but also what we want to see today is the Spirit of God empowers the church right now today. The way that I sometimes think about this is, are there any car people in the room? Not that you have a car, like you know things about cars and you love cars, you collect, you do things with cars. Anybody? I see a couple of hands going up. I know a lot of you guys are mechanics, you know, and things like that. I'm not a car person at all. I'm not against it or anything like that. Obviously, I own a car. I don't know anything about cars. Like if you took me out in the parking lot right after this church is over and you like wanted to show me your engine or things under the hood, I would have absolutely no idea what I'm looking at. I don't know anything about things like that at all. Horsepower and what makes cars go faster than others and engines and all those things. It's like a foreign language to me. But if you could stick with the car metaphor, if you could take the church of Jesus and open up the hood and look under the hood to see what is giving this thing power, hopefully what you would not see is you wouldn't see that the church is driven by a personality. It's not driven by a bunch of programs. If you could look under the hood of the church of Jesus, this one and churches all over the world, what needs to be driving the church, empowering the church, is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the horsepower in the church. And we amen that. I see a lot of people saying amen and shaking their heads. But here's the thing. One of the signs that the Spirit of God is empowering the church is that the people of God are using what are called spiritual gifts. And that's our practice today. So our practice today that we're talking about in our Rhythm series is the practice of spiritual gifts. And maybe when you hear me say those two words, spiritual gifts, that brings up different things for all kinds of people, maybe depending on your church background. Maybe some of you've seen a lot of spiritual gifts abused, and you're kind of leery of this topic. Maybe others of you get really excited when we talk about this kind of topic. Others of you, and man, honestly, I'm really thankful that you guys are here. Others of you, you're like, I don't really know what to think about spiritual gifts. I've never really thought about it. I've never really talked about it. I know it's in the Bible, but I don't really know a lot about spiritual gifts. And so our practice for today to help us to follow Jesus in everyday life is you and I, as followers of Jesus, using our spiritual gifts. Now, just so we make sure that we're all on the same page, just so we make sure everybody knows what we're talking about when we talk about spiritual gifts. Here's the definition. I think this is going to be on the screen, maybe. Here's our definition of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are the God-given abilities that every follower of Jesus has, it's important, to serve the church and the world so that earth will look more like heaven. Does that make sense? So spiritual gifts are God-given abilities. We're going to unpack this all in the next couple of minutes. God-given abilities that God gives to every single Christian. Not varsity-level Christians, not Christians who have been in it a while. We're going to see this morning, God gives every single follower of Jesus spiritual gifts. And the reason that God gives us gifts is so that we could make earth look more like heaven. And so we're going to be in a couple different passages of Scripture this morning. I want to show us one, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. You might want to write some of these verses down so you can spend some time with them this week. I think this passage right here, especially for people who go to church, I look around, I see a lot of you, man, you're here every single week. I think this passage can be an earth-shaking passage for people come to church every single week. All right, look at this, Ephesians 4, 11, 13. Look at what it says. So Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become, look at this, mature, that's the goal, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so what happens here is Paul mentions five offices in this passage. Here's what you need to know. All of the offices that he mentions are spiritual gifts or have spiritual gifts connected to them, okay? So one of the offices here, the first one, apostles. An apostle is a position of leadership, and it's a spiritual gift. I always like to play a game when we do when I preach on this passage. How many people here have ever met somebody that said they were an apostle? Put your hand up right now. Okay, not a lot of hands. Not a lot of hands. Okay, put your hands up. Next one is prophet. Anybody ever met somebody said they were a prophet? Put your hand up. Okay, couple more hands. All right. Next one's evangelist. Anybody ever met somebody said they were an evangelist? Okay, I'll give you a little leeway. Anybody ever seen Billy Graham? Put your hand up. There we go right there. Okay, I'm trying to bring everybody in. Okay? Look at the next one. Pastors. Anybody ever met a pastor? Put your hand up. Okay. Some of you don't raise your hand. I'll show you one in the lobby after the service is over. Okay? Here's the deal, though. That's funny. Everybody's like, I don't really know apostles. I don't really know prophets. Okay, I do get the Billy Graham evangelist thing. I mean, everybody knows pastor. Here's why I do what we just now did. The word pastor. Pastor and teacher, a lot of times used synonymously. The word pastor is only used one time in the Bible. And this is it. Isn't that wild? See, you would think pastors get all kinds of airtime. And trust me, as a pastor, we want all the airtime we can get. You know what I'm saying? But pastor is only used one time in the Bible. I think for me, the reason that that's weird, maybe some of you can relate. I think for me, the reason that that's weird is because in my church background, the pastor was expected and hired to do absolutely everything. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The pastor answers the phone calls. The pastor preaches all the sermons. The pastor leads all the meetings. The pastor needs to have every spiritual gift that's mentioned in the Bible. The pastor needs to be a great people person. The pastor probably needs to be a good politician so that the change can happen in the church. The pastor needs to have a great personality. They need to have vision. Pastors are just all over doing everything except in the Bible. So this is why I said this passage, if you let it, it can just turn the way you think church works upside down. In fact, I think that this passage should turn the way that we think church works upside down. Because again, if you take that framework, the framework of we pay a pastor, we hire a pastor to do all of the ministry or virtually most of it. Let's look carefully at what this says. Look here. So Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, there's all the leadership gifts there, right there, those five. Watch this. Why did Jesus give those things to the church? Look at it. To equip, what's that? What's the next two words? His people. For the works of what? Service. So do you see that? So Jesus gives certain spiritual gifts, and certain spiritual gifts have leadership roles attached to them. And the reason Jesus gives leadership roles like a pastor is so that pastors can, look at it, equip his people. Who is the people of God? Some of you are like, oh man, this is hard. I don't know the answer. Starts with a C, ends with church. Trying to help you out. But it's the church. It's us, right? So to equip the church for works of service. So in Paul's mind, let's back up even bigger. In the Bible's imagination, who is it that's doing the majority of the ministry? Pastors or the whole church? The whole church. The whole church. And the reason that God gives these other things is so that they can equip, build up, teach, train, give opportunities so that the church will do the ministry. So every single Christian is called to ministry. It's going to be a big thing we see this morning. But the primary place of ministry is not here, it's out there. Now, some people will use their spiritual gifts primarily here, like maybe pastors or something like that, but the majority of people will use their spiritual gifts not within these walls, they will use it out there because every Christian is called to ministry. Let me just say this morning, teaching is ministry, amen? I'm talking teaching in public, I'm talking about teaching math, teaching science, teaching reading. I'm talking about teaching all the way through kindergarten, all the way grad school, PhD. Teaching is ministry, amen? You teenagers, you're on the football team. Being on the football team is ministry. Coaching is ministry. Being a manager, a CEO, a waitress, a lawyer, a doctor, whatever it is you do, that is your field of ministry. Because every single Christian, every follower of Jesus is called to ministry. Our places of ministry look different, but all of us are called. Not some, every single one of us are called. So what I want to do this morning, I want to give us three revolutionary ideas from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 7. Okay, so we've just laid our framework, okay? So the framework is every one of us have spiritual gifts. God doesn't expect pastors or a few people to do everything. Actually, ministry is something every one of us are called to. Our ministry places look different. We all have spiritual gifts. So what's that mean? It means at least three things this morning. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to read this passage. It's on the screen. I'm going to lift these three things straight out of these verses so that you can see, oh man, this is where he's getting this. He's not making this up. So it's clear. This is not Mark's thoughts. This is what God says right here. First, let's read this. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There's different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Here's the first thing we need to see this morning. Every follower of Jesus has spiritual gifts. Every follower of Jesus has spiritual gifts. There's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Every follower of Jesus has spiritual gifts. Now, when we think about spiritual gifts, we need to think about natural gifts and spiritual gifts. We need to think about natural gifting and spiritual gifting. Natural gifts are just talents and abilities that we either naturally have, maybe you're born with it, or you've developed it over time, maybe through practice, education, opportunities, that sort of thing. So natural gifts, these are just things that you are naturally good at. And if you surrendered them to the Lord, God would use it to bring the kingdom. So what am I talking about? Some people in the room, you're just a natural leader. Do you know what I'm talking about? You just have the natural ability of leadership. Now, leadership is a spiritual gift. We're going to see it in a minute. But some people just have the natural ability of leadership. They can walk into an organization. Here's what's wrong. Here's what's right. They can give you a plan for where the organization needs to go. They're just great leaders. Other people, they just have a natural ability. They're really good with people. Some people in the room, a lot of people in the room, you're a great musician. You're just really good at a certain instrument. You've got a great voice. You've practiced. You've had a lot of opportunities. Here's the deal. Whatever it is, we all have natural abilities, and God can use your natural ability. Here's a question you might want to spend some time with this week. What are the natural skills and abilities that God has given me that I can surrender back to Him? What are the natural skills that you have? Somebody's told you, hey, you're good at that. Man, that's a gifting that you've got. What are the natural skills and abilities that you've got, that God has given you, that I can surrender back to Him? All of us have natural gifts. Now, spiritual gifts and natural gifts can overlap, but they are different. See, all people have natural gifts, but the moment that you give your life to Jesus, what happens is once we give our lives to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, and the Spirit gives all believers spiritual gifts. So the moment that you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you, and one of the things that happens when the Spirit comes in your life is the Spirit of God gives you spiritual gifts. And sometimes those spiritual gifts, or the Spirit of God comes and enhances the natural gifts that you've got. Other times the Spirit of God gives you gifts that you've never had before because they are from Him, a product of His presence in your life. But every single follower of Jesus has spiritual gifts, Summit. Man, one of the things, we've talked about this, we did a big series several weeks long, I think like 12 weeks long a couple years ago on spiritual gifts. You can find it in our podcast, YouTube pages, things like that if you really want to dive into that. But one of the things that always comes up when you talk about spiritual gifts and you say to the church, every single follower of Jesus has spiritual gifts, is the devil has worked really hard to get a lot of the church to believe that God's given everybody else spiritual gifts, but not you. So some of you hear a message like this and you think, not me. I don't have any gifts. Not me. I don't have anything to bring to the table. Not me. I don't have anything to offer. And I just want to say to you, that is a lie straight from the pit. And one day that lie will be thrown where the author of that lie goes into the lake of fire. Amen? I'm telling you, listen, the enemy does not want the church to grab a hold of this reality that you have spiritual gifts. And listen, it's not pride or arrogance to say, I have spiritual gifts. Let's just all do it right now. Let's just all say that out loud right now. I have spiritual gifts. Do it right now because you didn't believe it the first time. I have spiritual gifts. Now, here's the deal. If you look in the Bible, there's several lists of spiritual gifts. Go to the next slide. I think it's this one. There's several lists of spiritual gifts in the Bible. So here's all of them listed. I'm not going to give a definition of them because, again, we did this in a series a couple years back, and it would take forever to do. But you can see administration. Administration just means the ability to steer the church to take it to a certain destination. An apostle, discernment, evangelism, exhortation, faith, giving, healing, helps. Hospitality is a spiritual gift. Knowledge is a spiritual gift. Leadership is a spiritual gift. Mercy, prophecy, serving is a spiritual gift. Speaking in tongues is a spiritual gift. It's not up there, but it should be. The interpretation of tongues is also a spiritual gift. Teaching, it's a spiritual gift. Wisdom is a spiritual gift. And here's the thing about the, here's the thing. You can grow in your spiritual gifts. So God gives you spiritual gifts. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're an expert day one. Does that make sense? You can grow in your spiritual gifts. But also not only can, watch this, check this out. Don't miss this. Not only can you grow in your spiritual gifts. Listen, if you don't use your spiritual gift, they will dwindle up inside of you, and the fire that the Spirit of God is trying to bring in your life through that gift, that fire can go out. I'm not saying you can lose your spiritual gift, but I am saying that if you don't use your spiritual gift, you can lose the ability to walk in the gifting that the Holy Spirit wants you to have. Does that make sense? That's why it's so important to know our gifts. We'll talk about that, and to use the gift we have. Second thing we need to see is there are different gifts that the same Lord gives. There's different gifts that the same Lord gives. So God is the one who gives spiritual gifts. And here's this, it's a real important principle. No spiritual gift is less important than others. And no spiritual gift makes us better than others. So the moment that we make spiritual gifts about us, so what do I mean? Hey, look at me, listen to me, watch me. I've got this gift and I want to use this gift to put myself
in the center of everybody's attention. What that does is it grieves the Holy Spirit, and that does not glorify God. Does that make sense? So spiritual gifts are not meant to lift me up, and no spiritual gift makes us better than somebody else. So it's not from God to compare the giftings that we have. Oh, my gifts don't matter because they're not like this person. My gifts don't matter because they're not as public as theirs. My gifts don't matter because it's not as flashy as theirs. Listen, every single gift that God gives, one, is from God, and two, matters. Amen? There is no insignificant spiritual gift. There is no second level spiritual gift. Every spiritual gift matters, and no matter what it is, God is the source of it. So that leads us to the last thing we need to see. Number three, spiritual, and this is huge. Watch this. Spiritual gifts are the manifestation of God for the common good. Spiritual gifts are the manifestation of God for the common good. So what's that mean? It means this. When you and I use our spiritual gifts, God is manifesting His presence to us in that moment. Let me ask you a question this morning. Don't answer this out loud. I want you to think about this. If God were to show up at Summit, how would you know? How would you know whether or not God actually shows up in a church service? You ever left the church service and somebody says, man, God was all up in that church service. Man, the presence of God was thick in that church service. How would you know if the presence of God was thick in a church service? Goosebumps? Come on, y'all. Right? Man, listen, I've gotten goosebumps at church, and I've gotten goosebumps watching Star Wars, and I've got goosebumps all kinds of times. Hair standing up on its end, hair standing up. Oh, it's the Holy Spirit. Is that all you got? Listen, when the Holy Spirit shows up, thousands of things can happen. And can I tell you one that happens? Here is an unmistakable mark to prove that the Holy Spirit has shown up in a church service. Here it is. You can write it down and take it to the bank. God's people are using their spiritual gifts. Now see, we're not told that because we always think that the Holy Spirit always accompanies itself with some flashy statement, some flashy presence. But this is one of the reasons why I say all the time, if you come to church and you think the only way God's going to show up is through somebody standing on this stage, odds are real high you're going to miss the presence of God at church. Amen? Man, I hope that God shows up in some sermons. I hope that God speaks to you through what we're doing. I know that God is using our worship team in a lot of your lives. But can I tell you other times when God just shows up, when God just manifests His presence in a moment? Man, God manifests His presence in a moment. When you drop your kids off back there in Summit Kids, and that volunteer who's had a hard week looks at you and says, man, I am so thankful and excited to see your kids today. And they sacrifice an hour of their time to get down on their knees and play with your child and to teach them about Jesus in a way that your kid can understand on their level. And your kid grows up and never forgets what that volunteer did in that 1 hour. What happened in Summit Kids that morning? The presence of God showed up through that volunteer. Amen? See, some of you have the gift of prophecy. So what is that? Some of you have gotten to church and you're like, man, I just feel like I need to say something to somebody. And I don't even know how to explain. I don't even know what that is. But I just feel like I need to say something to somebody. And maybe it's a word of encouragement. Maybe it's to lift somebody up. And maybe it's, I just feel like I need to say something to somebody. And you don't even know why you need to say that. But you walk up to them and say it, and it turns out to be the exact word that they needed at that exact time. And listen, that doesn't happen on stage. That's never going to make it on the live stream. But when that happens in the lobby, and trust me, it happens every single week. What's happening in that conversation? The presence of God is showing up right there between those people. Amen? Man, you come here this morning, people were at the door, and some of us, we just write that off. We just think, oh man, well, you know what? Those people are just standing at the door. Those people are friendly. Service is a spiritual gift. Listen, I could list name after name of people right here in this church for whom serving helps them connect with God. So, hey, can I help you? It's not a question of them being nice. Can I help you? And by helping you, helps me to connect with God. You want some coffee? Let me get you that coffee. Hello, I'm going to open the door for you. Welcome to Summit. I'm so glad you're here. And we think they're so nice. And really, it's a holy moment between them and the Lord. Why? Because they are using their gifts. And if our spiritual antennas are not up, we're going to walk by God revealing himself to us, and we could miss it. Amen? So I'm just telling you, when we use our, listen, spiritual gifts are not God zapping things down from heaven to us. When you and I use our spiritual gift, no matter what it is, in that place, in that moment, God is revealing himself through the person to whoever's on the other end of it. Maybe it's somebody on a stage, a lot of people see it, or maybe it's just one-on-one right out there in the lobby. But every single time we use our spiritual gifts, God is manifesting himself right there with his people. Here's this: God can reveal himself through anyone using their gifts, and God can reveal himself to others through you. But don't miss this: spiritual gifts are not to lift me up, but first to lift up Jesus, and second, to serve the person right in front of us. So here's the question, and we're done. The question that a lot of people ask, and it's on a lot of faces this morning, and it's the question you ought to ask, is how can I know what my spiritual gifts are? How can I know what my spiritual gifts are? And one, we, like I said, I've referenced it several times this morning. We did a whole series on this. Go back, find it. It's easy to find on spiritual gifts. But let me just give you at least two ways to know what your spiritual gifts are. Number one, you want to know what your spiritual gifts are, and don't write this one off. This is genuine. Pray and ask God. God, what are my spiritual gifts? What are the gifts, passions, talents, and abilities that you've given me to serve other people? Pray and ask God. And not only pray and ask God, you might want to ask some trusted Christian friends, family members, people here at church around you. Hey, how do you see God working through me? How do you see God using me? So number one, pray and ask God. But number two, don't write this off. This one's huge. If you want to know what your spiritual gift is, just start serving people. If you want to know what your spiritual gift is, just start serving people. Here, listen, most spiritual gifts are not primarily used here in this building. That's what we said. Most spiritual gifts are not used primarily here. But one of the reasons that we are always talking about joining a serve team is because being on a serve team gives you the opportunity at least one time a month to put the needs of others before ourselves. And that's exactly how we become like Jesus. We become like Jesus, we follow Jesus by putting others before ourselves, putting ourselves in a position to serve. And so listen, I just want to challenge you this morning. If you are not on a serve team, one of the reasons that I'm so big on joining serve teams is because joining serve teams gives you an opportunity to discover your spiritual gifts. And so listen, there's tons of serve teams that you can join this morning. Summit Kids. And can I just say something about Summit Kids? We're always talking about volunteers in Summit Kids, and maybe some of you are like, why are they always talking about looking for volunteers in Summit Kids? Let me just say this morning, there are a lot of churches that aren't looking for any kids volunteers because they don't have any kids at all. Thank goodness that it's a problem that we always need more volunteers to keep up with the amount of kids we have. Amen? Man, praise the Lord. Some of you are clapping. You better clap at that because that's awesome. But Summit Kids is an opportunity for you to pour into the next generation. Now, here's the deal. Maybe some of you join Summit Kids, and some people join Summit Kids, and man, they flourish. Some people start serving in Summit Kids, and all of a sudden, it gets them really close to starting a prison ministry from the inside, if you know what I'm saying, because they're going to send all these kids to jail or end up there because it's driving them crazy. Maybe that's not your gift. Maybe that's not the pathway to discover your gift. Let us get you out of there if that's where you're at, okay? But Summit Kids is a great opportunity for you to join to serve. Guest services, people at the front door right there. Man, Jesus showing up in the parking lot. The production, the sound booth, helping out with live stream. The prayer team being a part of the prayer counselors that come up front praying with people in the prayer room after the service. Listen, it's as simple as grabbing your connection card that's on the back of the seat in front of you and checking the box that says, I'd like to learn more about serving. Just check that box today. Put your name on it. We'll get in touch with you this week. But the reason that I'm spending time on this is because if you genuinely want to know, hey, Mark, What are my spiritual gifts? Number one, start by putting yourself in a position to regularly serve, because spiritual gifts are not about us being served. It's about us serving others. Amen? And here's the deal. If you can't start there, then I don't know where you can start. If you can't simply start at a place where I am just going to serve, no spotlight, no recognition, man, I don't know where you're going to start, because that's exactly where Jesus started. Amen? Right? So just put yourself in a position. But I want to challenge all of us to ask this question to God today and this week. It's going to be on the screen. Then we're done. God, here's a question for you. Spend some time with this. God, if we're all called to ministry, what's that mean for me right now? God, if I'm called to ministry, and you are, every follower of Jesus is called to ministry, then God, what does that mean for me today? Here's the deal. For some of us, it means that we need to let God in, and God might begin to transform the way that we see where we work. See, being called to ministry doesn't mean that you need to quit your job this week and pastor a church or move into the woods and start a monastery. Being called to ministry might mean that you need to begin to regularly pray for your coworkers. Might mean that you need to regularly start praying for your boss, your manager, because right now you're not. And listen, can I just tell you, ministry starts in the place of prayer. So God, okay, if I'm called to ministry, what's it look like? Well, God just might lead you to start a prayer journal. You start praying for your coworkers to give their lives to Jesus. And you just pray in that regularly. For some of you, God, if I'm called to ministry, what's that mean for me? God's going to say to some of you, hey, you know what? You really do need to join a serve team. You need to have a regular rhythm in your life of putting the needs of others before yourself. So let's start with 1 hour of church, one Sunday a month. Others of you, listen, God is big enough to where a question like this can't honestly turn your world upside down. And so God might turn your career upside down because he's God and he has the opportunity to do that in our lives. But God, if we're all called to ministry, and we all are, then what does that mean for me starting right now? Would you pray with me today? And here's the deal. As we bow our heads, close our eyes, I just want you to imagine a church released from ministry. That it's so much more than Sunday morning. It's not a program that the church has started. I want you to imagine a church filled with teenagers and men and women of all ages and backgrounds and interests who have a vision for their life of, you know what, I'm put at this school, I'm put at this plant, I'm put at this place of employment. We live in this neighborhood to make it look more like heaven. We're on mission right here. We are in ministry right here. Can I just tell you, listen, the church with that kind of mindset, walking in that kind of gifting, can change the world. And so God, the question that we have is, why not us? And why not now? Why not right now in 2024, you give us a vision for Hazard like this? That our lives are not accidentally one thing after another. That God, this season that we're in, and maybe we want this season to end, but this season that we're in, it's a season of ministry. God, I pray that right now you would just begin to open up our hearts and our imaginations and our eyes to see the world in a new way, to see the people that we live around in a new way, the needs of our community in a new way, the passions and the interests that we've got in a new way. God, there's somebody in the room and they just keep walking around thinking, why can't I stop thinking about that? Why does that name keep popping up in my mind? Why do I keep having dreams about starting this kind of thing? And God, I pray that you tell them today, that's you speaking to them. You're speaking into their gifting. You're speaking into their passions. You're giving them a vision for how they are tailor-made to make Hazard look more like heaven. And so, God, why not us? And why not starting right now? So, God, I pray you give every teenager a vision like this. Every mom and dad, every retiree, every person. God, I pray for the person that's in here today, and the whole time they've written this off because they think they don't have anything to bring to the table. Jesus, I pray that you would tell them today, they are made in your image, they matter, and they have spiritual gifts that you have given them that, God, you want them to use to make earth look more like heaven. And so, God, I pray that this church will be a place of equipping. Equipping where the saints are equipped and released to go out into the world to make a difference. But here's the deal. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. That's really where this starts. It really starts by you surrendering your life to Jesus. And you can, right there where you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, you are loved by God today. And I think that God brought you here so that you could hear this moment in this sermon, right here in this room on this day, that you were made by God, you are loved by God, and you're made to know God. And right now, if you just feel something tugging at your heart that you need Jesus in your life, don't ignore it. Right here, if you want Jesus in your life to save you, to forgive you, to adopt you, to make you His own, He can. He will. But you need to come to Him. And coming to Him looks like what the Bible calls a prayer of faith and repentance. Faith that we're trusting in Jesus, repentance that we're saying, God, we're turning from our way to yours. See, the Bible says we've all fallen short, we've all sinned, and Jesus came for all of us, no matter how far we've fallen. And so right now in this moment, if you're here and you want to give your life to Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to surrender to Him, to open up your heart to Jesus for the very first time. And this isn't a magic prayer or anything like that. I'm just trying to help you articulate and express what might be happening inside of you today. So just pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. Come into my life and save me today. God, I want to give my life to you right now for the first time. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for coming back from the dead for me. Help me to follow you for the rest of my life. And Jesus, I pray that as we wrap this service up today, what we've talked about would not leave and stay, not leave us and just stay here. God, I pray that you would grip our lives with a vision of what it would look like for us to give ourselves away, first to you and second to other people. And God, that's why we move into a time of giving right now. God, we move into a time of giving because a part of response is surrender of ourselves to you. And so, God, I pray that you would take what's given to make a difference not only out there, but also in our own lives. Jesus, we choose to give and surrender today to say that you are our treasure and our provider, and we trust in you. And so, God, whether we give here, whether we give online, God, I pray that you would use what's given to make earth look more like heaven. Father, we love you. We ask all this in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hey, let me just say something really quick to us before our people move in place to receive our offering. Earlier, I mentioned this Connect card. We talk about these every week. And one of the reasons we always point people to these is because they help us know what God is doing in your life. And if you are here and you just prayed to give your life to Jesus, the very first box on the back of this card says, I want to give my life to Christ. Hey, don't leave today until you let somebody know the decision you just made. Check this box, put your name on this card, give us a way to contact you, drop it in the baskets, come to us at the welcome area. We want to help you build a relationship with Jesus. But maybe you're here and you heard everything we said about joining a serve group and you're like, man, I would love to join one of those. What you can do, check that third box. I would like more information about joining a serve group. Check that box, put your name and a way to contact you on it, drop it in the offering basket or take it to the welcome area. We'll contact you this week and start having a conversation. What's a serve team you'd like to join? What's an area that you'd like to be a part of? And it helps you, one, get connected with community, and two, begin to use the spiritual gifts that God's given you. So go ahead and fill these cards out as best as you can. You can drop those in the offering baskets as they go around. Anybody that's been asked to help us receive the offering, you can go ahead and get in place right now and help us with that. I'm just going to take your whole phone because I'm not going to be able to do that announcement without it. Go ahead and get in place. We've already prayed for the offering. Hey, if you miss these baskets, drop these cards out there at the welcome area. You guys can go ahead and begin to receive that offering. We've already prayed over it. Hey, just a few things for you. Tonight at 6 is Equip, also our student ministry. So come be a part of it. Extravaganza, our big Easter event, is coming up at the end of March. And I saw some people bring Easter eggs this morning. Man, you guys are rock stars. Keep bringing those pre-filled Easter eggs in. Thank you so much for doing that. There's some info on the screens about Easter coming up. And Friday, March the 8th, you've probably seen this online. So ladies, Friday, March the 8th, the Vine Women's Ministry is having a prayer and worship gathering right here, Friday, March the 8th at 6 o'clock. Again, if you the Vine Women's Ministry on Facebook, if you haven't liked that, go ahead and like it, share it so you can see all the info from that. We'll share this event as well. But ladies, there's a big event coming up here Friday, March the 8th at 6 o'clock right here. All right? Hey, listen, man, love you guys. You're dismissed. God bless you.